The other night, Ryan asked me what I was going to preach on. It's kind of, because I didn't want to give it away, it's kind of joking. I said, and I say it, peace, love, and happiness. But maybe we'll see this morning that those elements will be part of this lesson. But before we get to that, I'd like to say good morning to everyone that's here. Good to see you. If you're visiting with us, on behalf of the members here at Monte Vista, I want to especially welcome you and ask that if you haven't yet, if you could fill out a visitor's card, there'll be an opportunity after the lesson to put that in the basket, and we'd appreciate that. So this morning, the topic I want to talk about is forgiveness. Now, when I say forgiveness, you probably immediately think about us needing forgiveness of our sins from God, which is certainly true. And that's something we speak about a lot, which we should. But what I want to focus on this morning is forgiving others. I think this is a very important topic. And as Christians, it's not just about getting forgiveness from God, but also about forgiving those around and about us. We'll start with a passage in Matthew chapter 6. If you'd like to turn over there, you're free to. Most of the passages I'll discuss this morning, I do have in the slides. Here in Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 9, it says, Jesus said, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And here, I really want to focus on these verses 12, 14, 15. And I'm using the English Standard Version for most of these. But in the New Century Version, it uses the word sin. Forgive us of our sins, just as we have forgiven others who have sinned against us. That's a phrase, I have to say, I used to hear in public prayers a lot. And I don't know that I hear it as much lately, but it certainly needs to be our attitude that when we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, that we are also forgiving others. And Jesus makes it very clear what the consequences are if we don't forgive others their sins. We won't be forgiven. So at the heart of the lesson this morning, it's kind of two parts. One, I want to look at why do we struggle to forgive others? What is the reason or reasons why that's so tough for us to do? And then what are some things we can do or things to keep in mind to help us to forgive others? So when we talk about forgiving others, I really want to make it clear that the focus of this lesson is for the kind of things that we all deal with. In other words, when we consider this question, it'd be kind of easy to come up with something that doesn't apply to everyone here, to think of something really terrible that was done. You can think about the kind of things essentially you would see on the news. You know, serious physical harm coming to you or a family member. The kind of horrific things we see, like I said, on the news that hopefully doesn't apply to anyone here, very few people here. I think we could get lost in that. That would be let's just say another lesson, another study for another time. What I want us to focus on are really the kind of things that each and every one of us deal with. And when I say that, more specifically, the kind of things we could think about are the things that have to do with that little fire known as the tongue. I think every single one of us has had times when somebody has said something bad to us, said something bad about us. We all deal with it. It can be painful. Despite what kids may say on the playground, words do hurt. The reason I asked Ryan to sing this song, 454, because the second verse, I think, really sums it up very well. When it says, "Somebody's been unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through." That's very true. We've all dealt with that. We've all had people say things to us. and say things about us. The other reason, though, it's very applicable, because we're all guilty, I believe, of at times, some point in our life, saying something we shouldn't have. I doubt there's anyone here who never has said something in anger or in an argument or whatever to someone, or said something about someone. Obviously, we should strive not to do that, but I think it's something we're all guilty of. So as we keep that in mind, we'll look at a few of the reasons we might give for why we don't forgive somebody. The first one would be the one I would run to right away, is if he or she didn't apologize. For me anyway, if somebody has done something to me or said something, I want to hear an apology. And usually if I at least get an "I'm sorry," I'm probably a little bit better about forgiving someone, but I want to hear it. A couple others that many have probably also said is that, yeah, somebody apologized, but they don't mean it. And they will hold that as a reason to not forgive somebody. And the third one might be that a person keeps either saying or doing what they have to do over and over again. But maybe you agree or maybe you don't. But I don't think those are really good reasons for not forgiving someone. I believe they're all just excuses. First off, I'm not saying that you shouldn't apologize to someone. I think sorry is a very important word. We should all say it. We teach our kids to say it. But I think whether or not one chooses to forgive somebody else really has a lot more to do with the person who's the forgiver or giving the forgiveness than the person who's in need of receiving forgiveness. Also, I think the third one in particular, we talk about doing it over and over again, is one we can clearly say that we can't use an excuse, because Jesus addressed it in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, where Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times." Again, that's the ESV. The old King James, that many of us probably memorized, says until 70 times 7. And I don't think it's a matter of 77 or 7 times 70, but that, of course, is figurative, and it means as many times as we need to forgive our brothers. And I think most of us know that. So if I'm going to say all those are excuses, what is the real reason that we do not forgive others? And this is kind of a point where I really prefer teaching a class to a sermon, maybe. David asked me this morning in the parking lot if I like speaking. I said, well, I like class because I like dialogue. And I would kind of wonder what others are thinking, or if anybody has it on the tip of your tongue where I'm going. But when I think about why I need to hear an apology from someone, why it's important that somebody says they're sorry, why is it that I want to hear them say, "I was wrong, you were right"? Why do we want to hear that? And why is it that we struggle to forgive others? And I would say to you, that's because of our pride. Our personal pride in self is what keeps us from offering forgiveness to those who are around and about us. Sometimes in this society, I don't even think we realize how much pride is just part of the way we are. Now, of course, we raise our children to learn to be humble. Many of us who grew up knowing the Bible, we learn that we should be humble, that we should treat others better than ourselves, think of others more highly. But we're part of a society that teaches us to look out for number one, as they say. And not only that, but to strive to be number one. In other words, we compete athletically, we compete academically, we compete when it comes to getting better jobs, who has the highest salary, the bigger house, the fanciest car, and who's got the latest smartphone or other gadget or some other toy. And it's just a major part of the world that we're in, that we're lived in, that we live in. But what does that have to do with forgiving others? In other words, how does our personal pride get in the way of granting forgiveness to someone? I think it comes back to that idea of looking out for number one. And I think of something that Vernon Judy said actually quite a few months ago at the Lord's table. He was actually quoting his dad. So Vernon Jr., quoting something that Vernon Sr. often says, is that justice is what you want for everybody else, but mercy is what you want for yourself. And I think that's true. When we talk about somebody doing something to us, or specifically saying something bad about us, we should all admit that we've said bad things to others. We've gotten into arguments, like I said, we say things in the heat of the moment, and we expect people to forgive us. How can somebody not forgive me? Hey, I didn't really mean it. Sometimes we apologize. I'd say probably often we don't even always apologize. But then in our own minds, we think, how dare somebody say something bad about us? That pride gets in our way. Again, we want to hear an apology. We want to hear somebody say that they were wrong and that we were right. Some things to think about, some more passages here. Because again, we're all guilty of saying things we shouldn't, and we all need to be merciful to those who you say things against us. James 2, verses 12 and 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2 says, judge not that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then down in verse 12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Some verses I believe we're all very familiar with. So when we consider that we need to have an attitude of forgiveness, how can we do that? I think obviously it starts with love and humility. Now, love, of course, we have the greatest commands. It tells us to love God and to love our fellow man. And I wouldn't say that love or lack of love, though, is the reason we struggle to forgive others, though, because often it's the ones closest to us that we do love that we really have a hard time forgiving or getting over the things that they may have done or said to us. But we need to show a true godly love towards them in order to forgive them. And then, of course, humility. Obviously, the opposite of pride. If pride is the problem, then to overcome it, we need to be humble. We need to have humility towards God, but also humility towards our fellow man. And I think that's something that we struggle with even as Christians. In other words, any of us who believe in God, who believe he created the universe, we can stand in awe of that and find that to be very humbling. But even while we recognize we are much, much lower than God and his son, sometimes I think when it comes to dealing with our fellow man, we don't see ourselves as humbly. We still tend to put ourselves just a slight notch above some of the ones around and about us. Again, that's a common part of the culture and the society we live in. But we really need to overcome that. And of course, we need to look to the greatest, the perfect example of both love and humility. That, of course, is Jesus. And here we have a few of the Beatitudes is around statements from Jesus. We've already touched on some of these, but before we get too far into them, just kind of want to make maybe a side note about the Beatitudes. Something I've been thinking about as I looked at this passage that we're looking at, looked at these chapters 5 through 7 in general. But the Beatitudes are a very important set of verses, obviously. I know as a kid, I had memorized them in Sunday school, Bible class, very early. I don't remember how old I was. Right now, as we go through these passages in our quarter, we've got them on the front of our notebooks for the kids. Anyone who has parents or the teachers know we have them there, and I think that's great. We put them right there. Through the years, in various studies on the Beatitudes, sometimes you might cover all of them in one class or in one sermon. Other times, I've even been in a class or two where it's taken a couple months because each and every class was to focus on one of them individually. And these were all great studies. But one thing that I don't recall really ever being part of those studies is incorporating those verses into the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. What I mean by that is that when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, or even the entire book of Matthew, but particularly verses 5 through 7, or chapters 5 through 7, they're kind of taken as its own little section, and then we move on to all these other things versus incorporating them. And the way I looked at it as I study this, and would encourage you to maybe consider this as well, is that these verses really serve as the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe even more than just the introduction, but are really the meat of the sermon. That they're closely related to all the other little stories. As a lot of people look at the Sermon on the Mount, they think it's just a collection of short little mini sermons. But I would say to you that all of them are really applications of the Beatitudes. That it all starts with the inward man and the things that Jesus presents here at the beginning of chapter 5. And everything that follows is really an application of those. And I could get into other examples, I won't. So we'll focus on this one. But as we look here at forgiving others, and we go back to the Beatitudes that I call out, they all play a part in forgiving others of their sins, particularly when they sin against us. First off, meekness or humility. We've discussed that to some degree, but we need to keep that in mind, that we're no better than everyone else, and we need to remember that we're sinners just like them. Merciful. We haven't talked about mercy in tremendous detail yet in the sermon, but if you look at the passages we've looked at, it's about granting forgiveness to give mercy. Not because of retribution or other reasons, but strictly because we find in our heart to forgive someone. Pure in heart. The reason I included that one is because oftentimes we can say we forgive someone, but do we always really forgive them? Only you and only God really knows what's in your heart. I think that was something Ken used to say quite a bit. But when it comes to forgiveness, sometimes it might be easy to say you forgive somebody. Of course, it's easier said than done. Only you know what's in your heart. But to truly forgive somebody, you have to get over those lingering grudges that are in there. And then, of course, being a peacemaker. This is all about trying to make peace with our fellow man, being at peace with our loved ones, our family, our Christian family. We need to be peacemakers. So the last part of this lesson, I want to look at some reasons to forgive versus consequences of not forgiving. We'll keep it fairly simple. I think at the heart of it, when we forgive somebody, and getting back to what I was just saying about saying we forgive somebody but not really forgiving them, is if we forgive somebody, it'll make us a happier person, a more peaceful person. If we hold a grudge, it's really going to do us more harm than somebody else. Also has to do with, of course, our relationship with those around and about us, our friends and our family. If we're holding on to grudges, then we're never going to be at peace with them as well as we could be. And of course, it's very important to have a good relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we don't have a good relationship, it can even get into the way or interfere with our worship. In Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24, it says, "So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse we looked at in a lesson last week, where Paul was writing to congregation of Christians. It says, see that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So we need to keep these things in mind. And then finally, along with trying to live peacefully among our family, our Christian family, we need to set the example to the world. We need the world around and about us to see us trying to emulate Christ. And I would simply ask, how is not forgiving someone emulating Jesus? Clearly it's not. If we're to emulate Christ, we need to forgive those around us. Let's maybe look at it a slightly different way. In other words, what does it cost us to forgive somebody? Does it really cost us anything to give someone forgiveness other than our pride? Now, what did it cost Jesus to forgive us? He came here, he gave himself so that we would have forgiveness. He obviously showed an example that we can't live up to fully or do what he did. But he offered himself as a sacrifice, and it was for us to have forgiveness of sins. Yet, it cost us virtually nothing to forgive those around and about us. So with that in mind, I close this lesson. I really hope it's given everyone here something to think about and continue to think about this and to study it. But we do want to offer an invitation every time we come together. Offer an invitation for anyone who hasn't put on Christ in baptism yet, become part of God's family, and be able to receive the greatest of blessings, which is the forgiveness of sins. Now, oftentimes when we talk about the different phrases or terminology with becoming a new Christian, talking about putting off the old man, putting on a new man, sometimes we say empty ourselves. One of the things I would say that whether you're one considering to come to Christ or all of us as we look at ourselves, we need to empty ourselves of our grudges. We need to get over any lingering things that people have done to us, still harbor bad feelings, and truly be like Christ, forgive them. And that applies again to, like I said, a new convert. If you're one who's willing or considering putting on baptism, maybe somebody's done a lot of bad things to you in life. Maybe it hasn't all been full of roses, as they say. But whatever's happened, it's all brought you to this point. You have the opportunity to put all that behind you and make the most important decision you'll ever make, which is to follow Christ. And so if you haven't yet named Christ, we would ask that you consider that and come forward now as we stand and sing this song of invitation.